So as you guys are flipping to James, the Epistle of James, chapter 1, first 8 verses, I'm sure if you look in your Bibles, especially before the James, and you look at the commentaries that are written before, many of them outline the book of James in the form of a number of tests. In other words, a test of faith, a test of service, a test of commitment, and so forth. And so what that means is as you're reading the book, and certain things are described over there, we are to evaluate our lives versus what is written, really to evaluate how we fall and how we compare to what James is writing. And of course, there's always an opportunity to come to Christ, repent, and work and ask for Him to change our lives so that we more and more resemble Him. So that's what I want us to remember before we read these first 8 verses. So let's go ahead and read. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, or endurance, as it says in some other translations. And let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking of anything. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. So the first time we talked about this, remember we talked regarding who James was. We figured out that he was the half-brother of Christ. The second time we talked, we focused on the first 4 verses, and our takeaway there was that James says that trials don't produce one particular virtue, remember? But rather, he's saying that perseverance leads to maturity in general. Testing of faith through trials derives and drives believers to a deeper communion and greater trust in Christ. So we talked about that last time. Today, we're going to focus on chapters 1, but verses 5 through 8 in that same chapter. And what are we going to take away from this text that we read? We're going to take away, first of all, that true wisdom comes from God. And we'll talk about also that asking for wisdom is actually okay, and we should be doing that in our life. And we'll also look at the right way to ask for wisdom, and also put it all in context and bring it together. So, when you look at verse 5, let's reread it, and 6, it says, "But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." So the first thing I want to highlight for us is that true wisdom comes from God, right? If you think back to the Old Testament, you can think back of the wisest man in history known to man. And who was that wisest man? Anybody? Yes, Solomon, right? And remember the context in which Solomon grew up. He grew up with David. He saw all those intrigues, and David had quite a few really, really bright advisors. It says that regarding one of his advisors, that his advice was as if from an oracle and came directly from God. So Solomon saw all that. He wasn't amiss. He knew that all of that was happening. And in his observation of even his father and advisors of his father, he realized that wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. Does it actually say so in the Bible anywhere? You might be wondering. It does. If you look at Proverbs 2:6, literally, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." And so Solomon really understood that. And you remember when God asked him, "What would you like of me? Ask anything." Remember that he did ask for wisdom. And God ended up blessing him with so many other things. So the first point I want us to walk away with is that true wisdom comes from God. It's not this knowledge sometimes that we hear of. It's not PhDs, it's nothing like that, but true heavenly and godly wisdom comes from God. And if we think back to our own lives, I'm imagining that all of us want wisdom, and we could definitely have more. If you reflect on your own life and you think back, were there ever situations where you look back and you say, "Geez, that was a dumb thing to do," right? In other words, that was a very unwise to do. Thing to do. Or perhaps if you reflect back and you think to maybe your parents or some other folks that have ever talked to you, have they ever said, "Geez, you know, that was just a ridiculous thing that you have done. Maybe some other people, not only yourself, but some other people gave you feedback that some of our or your actions might have been unwise. So with that being always an occurrence in all of our lives, because I know I've done unwise things, the first thing that I want us to point out and to know is that true wisdom comes from God. So if I have instances in my life where I see, geez, things could have been done much better, I need to go to God for that wisdom. The second item I want us to focus on that comes out of these verses here directly is that James says, if you're lacking wisdom, go and ask God for wisdom, right? And so some people sometimes takes this very pious approach that, you know, I'm missing something, but I'm either a little bit ashamed to ask for it, or if God really wants to give it to me, he'll give it to me. And they actually don't ask. James here says, no, that's not the right approach. If something is really on your mind, and if you're lacking it and you realize it, he says, go ahead and ask God for it. Are there any examples in the Bible that actually demonstrate that, you might ask? There are. We already spoke about Solomon, and remember, he asked, and God gave him. If you look at Proverbs 2:2, it says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Proverbs 4:5 also says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. And it was, as we already spoke about Solomon, he directly asked God for it. So the second item I want us to take away from this particular text is that we are to ask God for it. It's okay to ask for it. And as a matter of fact, God is actually encouraging us to ask for the wisdom, for the true heavenly wisdom. The third thing that I want us to note, though, is that asking for wisdom has to be done in the right way. Because if you read chapter 1, verse 5, James says, ask for wisdom. But then he spends verse 6, 7, and 8 kind of presenting the negative side of how you should not be asking for wisdom. And if I simply look at those four verses, it seems kind of odd. One verse dedicated to saying ask, but three verses dedicated to say don't ask in this way. So that clearly highlights to us that it's important in how we actually ask for it. Why? Because in other words, somebody might claim, look, I'm lacking something, I'm lacking wisdom, so I've asked God. And he's either given me something or maybe hasn't given me something. They might make that type of a claim. So here, James clarifies it for us, how the asking should be done, in what manner. So that way there's no misunderstanding in our minds as to how it should be done. And so there's clarity in our minds with respect to if we come to God and asking for wisdom, how exactly it should be done. So let's look at that for a second. Let's reread those verses, just so it's clear for us. Verse 6 and on says, but he must ask in faith without doubting. So the first item I want us to highlight is that we must ask for the wisdom in faith. Remember the woman, the Canaanite woman that came to Christ and asked for her daughter to be healed? And he healed her daughter. Christ healed her daughter. And in his response to him, to her, I'm sorry, in his response to her, he said, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. So he made an emphasis on that faith. So if we come to God and request him for anything, first of all, that faith has to be there. That faith absolutely has to be there. Second, as we continue to read that first chapter, verses 6 through the end, it says, he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driving and tossed by the wind. For the man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So basically, if I take a step back and think about that, if I'm doubting, if I'm coming and asking for something, but really in the back of my mind, I have zero faith, or maybe partial faith, or, you know, I'm just kind of saying, well, I'm going to try to lob in this prayer up there and see if it sticks. That's really not the right approach at all, because he's saying if that's resembling my attitude when I come to him in prayer and asking something, I'm really being double-minded because I don't actually expect or I don't actually have sufficient faith for that. And you know what it reminds me immediately of with the youth that we were studying on our Fridays? It reminds me of, remember the first John at the end when John also writes and he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. So the parallel there is that our prayers and the way we ask have to have faith, but also without getting into all the detail here, James is saying that it has to be aligned with the will of God. Why? Because if you believe that your request is truly aligned with the will of God, you're going to have faith. If you are not sure that it aligns with the will of God, or if you don't know, or if you believe that it doesn't align with the will of God, likely there's going to be zero certainty in your request, or zero surety. That's what he's really saying here. So what I want us to take away in this third point is that we need to ask for wisdom in the right way, meaning having faith and understanding and coming to him, understanding that whatever our requests are, they are completely in alignment with his will. And the last and final point I want us to highlight from this passage is the context. If you notice that these four verses that talk about asking for wisdom, they come immediately after the first four verses that talk about trials and persevering through trials. And right after he gets done talking about trials and growing through trials and becoming complete, he says, also ask for wisdom. So I think the context is very important here, because so often you're going through either a trial or something is happening in our life, in your life, where we're uncertain what to do. Typically, when is that happening? Typically, that's happening when, again, where something is going wrong in your life, or there's some kind of a pressure or uncertainty. Typically, it's happening not when everything is hunky-dory. And so I think the context is also crucially important here. When that happens, when you're in a tough bind, when in a situation, seek his wisdom. Seek his counsel. In other places, it says that wisdom is in multitude of advisors. It's not only in God. So implement his will and follow what the Bible says, not only in your prayers, but also in implementation and in seeking wisdom in who you go to for advice as well, your pastors and everybody else. So as we complete this message here, I want us to once again just remember the main takeaways, how we can apply it to our lives, because that's really the most important and crucial. What we hear, how do we apply it to our lives? So again, I want to remind us, first is that true wisdom is coming from God, especially for all of our younger generations who's going to school and increasingly and exponentially increasing their knowledge, in some areas, much more so than the parents. True wisdom, not just knowledge, that I want us to remember, it comes from Christ. Second is that God tells us, and James here tells us, that it's absolutely okay and encouraged for us to ask for that wisdom. So are we practicing that in our lives? Are you practicing that on your daily prayers and your daily talks and walks with God? Are you asking for wisdom? You should be if you're not. Third, this is something that we should be doing in the right way, with faith and with alignment to God's will. And then lastly, we should also be doing this, especially in the tough circumstances and situations in our lives. There's much more, of course, that could be extracted from this passage here, but I simply wanted to highlight these four items for us. Amen.